Well, amen to that. Has the Lord been faithful to you? Has He provided what you needed? He is faithful, always faithful. And brothers and sisters, I invite you to turn back to Luke today, back to Luke chapter 11, back to verses 1 to 13. That'll be our text that I'll, overall text I'll read as we continue in Luke. Beginning in verse 1, this is the Lord's word to us. And it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples." And he said to them, "Well, when you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, for we all ourselves also forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Suppose one of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me from a journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And from inside he shall answer and say, "Do not bother me. The door is shut, and my children are in bed, and I can't get up and give you anything." And I tell you, even though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he'll get up and he'll give him as much as he needs. And I say to you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it shall be opened. Now suppose one of you fathers is asked by his son for a fish. He will not give him a snake instead of a fish, will he? Or if he's asked for an egg, will he not give him a, he will not give him a scorpion, will he? Well, if you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him?" Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, we come to you because you bid us to. You tell us if we ask, we receive. And Lord, we come because we trust your promises. You are the good Father. We in and of ourselves are evil, and yet we know how to good gifts to our children. How much do you know how to give the perfect gift and will? You are so faithful to do that. So we come and we ask and we keep asking. So Father, this morning as we come, we come to you, our Father, knowing your love for us as we see Jesus and what you did to provide our greatest need, forgiveness of sins, reconciliation with you so that we might have eternal life. We come to ask that you might provide what we need today, Lord. Lord, teach us how to pray. This is what you speak to here. Help us be able to receive what you're saying to us. Keep our hearts humble. Keep us from the pride that would say, "I know, I don't need to learn." We are creatures that just, we need to you to teach us everything, to lead us in every way, and to supply everything we need. May we learn dependence on you, Lord. And teach us to depend on you in the way you've instructed us. I pray for this for the good of your people, of course. You always know best for us. Help us to trust that and thereby obey. But Lord, we pray for you to do this for the glory of your name. That your name would be hallowed in our hearts and in this church and in this world. that your kingdom would come more and more as your will is done more and more in your people. May Jesus be lifted up and glorified and worshiped as he will be one day by all of heaven. Oh, Lord, we pray you do this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Well, last week we took a break from Luke and stepped into Matthew just a bit in order to remember and celebrate the resurrection of Christ as we met together for Resurrection Day. But today we do return to Luke and our study of this gospel that we've been in for quite some time as we come back to this 11th chapter. And I hope you remember, we not only come back to Luke, but we come back to a passage we've been in for a little while, right? For a couple weeks before Resurrection Day, we have been walking our way through this passage, which has this very important teaching by Christ on prayer. You remember the context. Jesus was praying as he always did. He was a man of prayer. And as he was praying, this time his disciples were presumably with him and listening to him, at least, if not praying with him. And at the end of this, one of the disciples at the end of his praying asked him, he said, "Jesus, teach us to pray." And so we have basically the rest of this passage, most of it is taken up with Jesus' instruction to his disciples then and us now, before we receive it, instructions on how to pray. And Jesus, if anybody knows how to pray rightly, it's Jesus, right? It's kind of a side note here already, but this is a request Jesus will always answer if we ask sincerely. If we really come and like, "Lord, I really want to know how to pray better. Would you teach me?" He'll teach us. He'll take us into how to pray according to his will and as he designs it. Now, so far, if you're just a little bit of a refresher, we've seen as Jesus teaches us how to pray more rightly. He's taught us how to pray more rightly by, one, teaching us to pray to the right person. We're not praying to a far-off, distant God. We're not praying as his people to an angry God. We're praying to our Father who is in heaven, who loves us and desires for us to draw near and desires to give us what we need. Secondly, we've also seen that Jesus has taught us how to pray more rightly by teaching us how to pray with the right purpose. Remember that? We saw that instead of coming before God, as we often tend to do, like rushing in with our list, we start, no, with God as the focus, and we come and we seek his glory, and we seek his kingdom to come and his will to be done, right? It's all about God and his purposes for which he's made us and all of creation, and we come into that, and we begin in that right place by praying with that right purpose. Now, that catches us up, doesn't it, to today where we left off a couple of weeks ago. And we're going to continue to look at the ways Jesus has taught us to pray more rightly, but not only learn how to pray to the right person and with the right purpose, but now I want you to look and see how he teaches us to pray with the right petitions. Jesus is going to teach us how to pray with the right petitions. Now, our context for this overall point will be verses 3 and 4. Today we'll be in verse 3. So if you will, let's just go ahead and get started. Now, as we look here in verse 3, as I've just mentioned in the introduction about focus, right purpose, we see the transition, though, here where Jesus has now instructed us how where to start. Start with focusing on the Father and the glory of God and his kingdom coming. And now he says, now he begins to instruct us on how to approach him with our desires, right? The part that is about us, right? If you look at these petitions are about us, the word our or us are in all of these. And so he now begins to say, now, as far as you and your concerns with yourself, this is how you bring these before the Father. And he does that by giving us three main petitions to divide these up into. And the first one he gives us is our one concern for the day, which is what? Give us our daily bread, right? Give us our daily bread. Well, what's daily bread? Well, we know that's our food, right? Not just bread, wheat ground and baked into bread, but our food. And but then it goes beyond our food too, doesn't it? It goes to basically, here's Jesus teaching how to ask for and petition our Heavenly Father for what we need, right? This is our, what do we need to live and to exist and to move and to do what we do in this world, this temporal earthly world? This is what we need. And so we come to our Father and we ask Him for our what we need by asking for our bread, our food. It would include, of course, clothing and shelter, right? And it would also include things like your health and your strength. And I think the wisdom to be able to do what we need to do for the day. John MacArthur says it can't even include praying for your government. Why? Because you need order and you need peace in society to be able to live rightly. And so it's just, what do you need, right? What do you actually need to live as you're supposed to live? I will point out here, I'm going to go back to the reality of the right order of things. Remember, I told you a couple weeks ago, Jesus is teaching here not only how to pray, but how to pray with the right order. And we start by God, focus on Him and what He wants and His desire, His glory and His kingdom. If we do start there, then when we get to this, it's going to change how we pray these and how we ask for these, right? At least it should if we've prayed these rightly and God's Spirit's moving in us. And what I mean is if God's glory is the focus and God's kingdom coming and His will being done, then we begin to ask for these petitions in a way in which we're not the main focus, right? In other words, we don't ask for what we need so that we can consume them for ourselves. We're the end product, right? Because that can be how we ask for it. Well, give me what I need because I need them. And then it stops there. James actually warns us against this type of prayer. You know that? He says, you know, well, if you don't have, you should ask, right? But then he says, if you ask and you don't receive, it's because you've asked for it to spend on your own passions. Do you see that? That's the wrong. We want to guard ourselves against asking for things that's just all about us. We want this because this is what we think we need to spend it on our own self, on our own desires. But rather, if we start with God and His purposes, right, then we're going to begin to pray for these needs that we do have. But the purpose is for that we can then live and work and exist, right, to serve Him and the purposes for which He made us, which is to bring Him glory and live according to the way He wants us to live for His will to be done and His kingdom to come, right? Again, He's the focus. It will change these prayers. And so, you know, instead of just asking, you know, Lord, give me my food because I like food and I'm hungry and I want to eat, right? It becomes, well, Lord, give me the food I need, right, so that I can go out and actually live for You today, right, in the way You want me to live. God, give me the health for my body today so I can actually go out and work, right, and actually provide a living that You're actually providing through my work so that I can be the husband You want me to be and I can be the father You want me to be, right, which is all about You and Your glory, not me. Lord, give me the clothing I need and the housing I need, right, to be able to go out and serve You and do the good works that You want me to do and to make disciples. Remember, see how it's, give me what I need to do what You want me to do for the reasons You want me to do, right, because God's still the focal point. He's the one that drives it all. And if we start here really concerned about God's glory and not just about us, then it'll even change our necessities and how we pray for them. Necessities are still the same, or they should be, Actually, praying for this will probably cut off a lot of wants. And just, what do I need to do what you want me to do, Lord, right? That's the idea here. It really will change that. Now, as we look at this and we see Jesus is teaching us how to pray, and you know, the first petition that really, we have, the first time we get to ourselves is this, well, just give me what I need. He also teaches us how to go about asking for our needs. And what I mean by that, notice he teaches us to do that how? Each day. It says here in Luke, give us each day our daily bread. We probably know Matthew's version better, right? Give us this day our daily bread. You put those both together, how does Jesus want us to pray? Pray for today, right? Concern yourself with today and what you need for today. And do that every day, right? Every day. Come and ask the Lord for what you need today. So he's teaching us to deal with it daily, very, very clearly. This is so important for us because, well, if we actually pray this way daily for what we need every day, it will benefit us greatly. One way to benefit us, it will keep us from harmful things that if we don't pray this way are likely to come in and creep in. What do I mean? Well, one, to pray this way, like just each day, come every day, Lord, give me what I need for today. This will, as I kind of hinted at this a while ago, this will keep us from seeking excess as we contend to do, right? We contend to want and go after more than what we need now. And we can want to stockpile and we want to have excess. And it will help keep us from what we don't actually need, but just luxury. We want more than what we need. We want, whatever, niceness, you know, we tend to do that. Well, praying this way, truly just coming, Lord, give me what I need to serve you and you can serve your purposes through me for today, right? That'll keep us from that. That's one. Two, this will help keep us from worry and anxiety, won't it? What is worry and anxiety typically all about? It is about me, but is it about today? Or typically it's about tomorrow, right? When we let our minds and hearts slip into tomorrow, what do we begin to do? What if, right? What if? What if I don't have what I need tomorrow or next week or next month or next year? However far you got to go down your road, right? Everybody's got their road. That's where the anxiety and worry slips in. What if I don't have what I need, right? That will tempt us to worry and be anxious. But if we really do this, oh, just today, Lord, right? What do I need today? Lord, you supply what I need today to serve you. Then that will cut off the tomorrow part as far as that tempts us to worry, and that will keep us grounded, you know. After all, Jesus taught us this. He said, do you know what tomorrow's going to bring? No. Well, if you don't know what tomorrow's going to bring, how are you going to know what you need for tomorrow? You don't even know. How can you ask for what you don't know what tomorrow's going to be like for what you need, right? And Jesus said, today has what? It's got enough troubles of its own, right? So put your heart and mind in today and for me today and cut off all that worrying about tomorrow, right? Because he says, well, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all its righteousness and give all those things to God, right? Because there's the other thing. We don't know what tomorrow was going to bring, but who does? God does. Does he know? He knows what your tomorrow is, and therefore he knows what you need, and so you've got to trust his goodness and his faithfulness, right? That he's going to provide what you need tomorrow when tomorrow comes. So you got to give all your tomorrows to the Lord and go, he knows me, he's got me, I'm his problem. Lord, I give you that. For now, help me just to ask you, what do I need today, Lord? Please provide what I need today to go out and live for you. We do that and we'll see that all those things that we worried about, he's going to give it to us. We just seek you first, the kingdom of God and all his righteousness today. He will take care of the rest. Now, just a little side note, that doesn't mean that we don't ever think about tomorrow and do a little wise thinking and planning a little bit, right? That's not what that means, but you know the difference. You know the difference in just thinking about tomorrow in the right way peacefully and the part that tinges us, what if, right? Just praying this way will keep us from that. What a great, does anybody like to worry? I don't, right? Although I wonder, you know, Doyle's not here. I can say that he had a funny little line. He said, "Why pray when you can worry?" Right? So this teaches us, no, put the worry down and pray for what you need today. Just give the tomorrows to God. All right. So it'll keep us from worrying, anxiety. The third harmful thing it'll keep us from, it'll keep us from prayerlessness. Just by doing what Jesus says to do, right? How? Well, if I've got to come every day and ask God for what I need, then I've got to pray every day. And that's going to keep me from not coming as I should. And that's a good thing because I'm telling you, what you need so foundational for you, for your relationship with the Lord and your walk with the Lord and your growth in faith is you need regular time, substantial time in prayer with the Lord. And it's built in if you just follow and do what Jesus says, right? Jesus said, pray each day for your daily bread. Then you got to come every day. And you're praying every day, right? That'll keep you from prayerless. How beautiful is that, right? Oh, Lord, I got to come and ask you for what I need today. Here I am again. And there's that daily prayer time just built in for you, you know? Just built in for you. So it'll keep us from those things. So it keeps us from harmful things, but it will also benefit us because it will give us and bring us and teach us some big, just lessons we need to learn. We need to learn them all our life, I think, that will help us in our walk with the Lord and will just build us up in Christ. Things we just need to learn and walk by faith. And praying this way, I think, will help promote these, right? And the first one is this. I think praying this way, if we're sincerely praying, and again, praying this way as in, well, God, you're the focus. I'm praying because I want to bring glory to your name, and I want your kingdom to come, and I want you to use me for that. And then we pray each day for our needs. This will teach us to know our neediness. You know what I mean by that? You're a needy creature, whether you realize it or not. We need to know it. And what I mean by needy is you're completely, totally, 100% dependent on someone or something else to provide what you need. You don't have it within yourself already, and you don't have it within yourself to produce it. We are all absolutely needy creatures who are 100% dependent on who? On God. Huh. Do you believe that? I think we believe it up here. Let me show you how dependent you are, and you've heard this before probably, but like it starts in the most minute of things, and I could go smaller. I could get into the cells, but I just don't think. You need your heart to beat. You need your lungs to take in air and breathe them out every moment. You can't do that unless God provides it. God must bring it, provide it, and will it so. Or you can't exist. You can't live. You can't work. You can't do anything unless our Creator and life giver wills it so moment by moment. If you want to know how dependent on you are on the Lord, just think about how much God must cause your heart to beat every second. He's the one bringing that about, not you. And it didn't just happen out. He didn't just wind you up and let you go, watch you go. He's holding all things together by the word of His power. And that's one thing He's holding together. You see, and it just extends out from there, right? You need oxygen to be transferred from your blood into all the cells of your body. Science doesn't do that. Science not even a thing. It's just a word that we use to be able to study what God does. We can see and observe the laws He set and ordered and brings about. This God, you are so dependent. I mean, I think when I say that we're needy creatures and we're dependent on God, most of us would agree with that mentally. I know that. I think most evangelical Christians would say, yeah, yeah. But we don't know the depths of it. I every time I think I begin to get a handle on it and just how dependent I am on the Lord, oh, He takes me deeper. He says, you think you know how dependent you are on me? Let me show you. Pulls the rug out some way, right? Lets me feel it. That's the problem. We don't feel it a lot of times. When everything's going well, we don't feel it at all. We got this thing. And then God, let me show you. Now, I want to tell you, that's hard, but it's always worth it. Why? Because I get to know God more. I get more Him. I get to grow in Him. He's the prize. And He's actually doing that for my good. Does this hurt? Yeah, it hurts. Does it feel good? No, it doesn't feel good, right? But, oh, I get more God. And then I grow. And there's those times like, boy, I don't really realize how dependent I am on you, Lord, but you're teaching me. That's why I've learned to say, at least I hope, I said, I haven't got there yet, right? Because I don't know. He's going to. But every time He shows me, it's so good. What's this got to do with prayer? Well, that's the way He can show us, right? When He takes us through those hard times, it shows us how we just don't have the ability to do what we need to do. He just shows us. And it's like, oh, he's crying out to God. Well, prayer, if we pray like this, I think it'll go a long way to teach us the same thing. And maybe a bit easily, more easily, without as much, whatever you want to call it. And what do I mean? Well, if we're daily, we're good. Okay, Jesus, I'm going to trust you. I need to come every day and ask you simply for what I need today. I'm going to begin to see just how needy I am because I'm going to begin to see all the things I actually do need from the Lord to live and exist for Him, right? And I do not have it in myself. And as I begin to actually see those needs, like, oh, I'm needy in here and here and here and here and here, I'm actually going to also begin to see more rightly how He's the fountain and source of it all. I didn't provide that for myself, right? Oh, He may give me the ability to go out and work and do things, but He's providing all of that, right? And as I see it and I see, oh, I'm so needy in all these different ways, and then I see Him as the fountainhead and the source of giving it, and especially if I begin to just wait and watch Him answer my prayer and supply my need for the day, as I see that happening, I see more and more He's the source of it all, and I know my dependence on God. And then prayer becomes more like breathing, like I've talked about. Spurgeon said, prayer to the believer is like breath. We breathe. Why? Well, if you know your dependence on the Lord, it's like a rhythm of life. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. Lord, I need you. You're just constantly calling out and asking the Lord to give you what you need, because you know if without Him moving and acting and willing and so, I don't have what I need. And so it's going to be a cyclical thing. We actually pray this. We'll learn to see our needs better and our dependence better, and then that will cause even more prayer, right? But I think the opposite's true as well. When we're not praying, we're not seeing our needs, our neediness, right? It could be any time. It could be when things are going good and we don't see it. A lot of times we don't see it. Everything's just kind of on cruise control. Everything's fine, right? And we're not coming to God. Well, do I still need Him every moment of every day? Yes, I do. But I've forgotten to ask because it's just assumed I got this. I don't see our neediness very well. Or it can be when things are kind of going bad, right? And we don't go to God with it. We go within ourselves and we pick it up and we start striving to fix this problem or fix whatever we're doing. And we go, it's kind of like, why pray when you can worry? It's like, I ain't got time to pray. I got to go out and fix this problem. I got to get my life back to where it needs to be, and I need to get things the way they need. You can't. We have to see our need, and the more we see our need, the more we're going to pray. And the more we're going to pray, like the more we pray like this, the more I think that will just bring us into seeing our neediness and our dependence on God and how He's a fountainhead of all of it. I'm telling you, I'm not telling you to make you feel bad. I'm just telling you, it's knowing your neediness and feeling your powerlessness to live and exist and do what you want is actually a good thing. When you see God as the source of it and know just how good He is to give you what you need. You get more Him. Less of you and more Him. All right, so that's one great lesson He's going to teach us if we do this. Another lesson He's going to teach us, and it could be a dub, but I think we need to also learn it. If we pray this way, this will help us to be thankful as we ought to be. What do you mean? Well, if we're actually going to God and asking Him to give us what we need, and I mean get down in the weeds and get to the simple stuff, like every little thing, asking for what you need, as you see Him answer that and that He is giving you what you need, you must thank Him, right? Like if He's really the source of it, the only right thing to do is to thank Him for that. And as you see more and more how He is giving you what you need in every little thing, you're thanking Him for this and thanking Him for that and thanking Him. And you're just thanking all day long as you see it. And you know, even if you pray this way, as Jesus teaches us, even if you don't see His provision in a moment, because oftentimes we can ask and then we go on, we even miss it like He's provided and we're just... But if you're praying this way, at least by the next morning, when you come to give Him your list of needs again, you're going to have to go, oh, well, did He provide what I asked for yesterday? Well, I guess He did, right? Look, and you got to think, okay, He provided. There He was. And you just, oh, I thank You, Lord, right? And we know He wants us to thank Him. I mean, my goodness, the Scriptures are full of the command to thank the Lord, right? For this reason. And this will teach us to be so much more regular in our thankfulness, you know? You know, unbelievers, it says in Romans 1, well, they don't even acknowledge God as God nor give Him thanks. But see how offensive that is to God? Right? We can be just as bad. We can be practical atheists. Oh, God's God, but we never give Him thanks. We live as if He doesn't exist. He's always supplying what we need. If we're praying this way, oh, we're conscious of it. We're thinking every morning we're going to be coming back going, look at what You did, God. Look what You gave me. Right? And it's not just that He gave us, but we're going to see He gave us in all, down to the smallest little things, and we're going to see His care for us. And we're going to be thankful that we have a God who cares for us to give us what we need in the smallest of things. We're not bothering Him with little things, and we're not overwhelming Him with big things and everything in between. He will give, and we'll see that. And as we see that daily, if we're praying like this, we will see how faithful He is, right? We just sang, "Great is Thy faithfulness." You really get to the depths of His faithfulness when you start seeing He does this every day. You know? Every day, every moment of every day, He is faithful to provide me and all His creatures what we need, right? Every day. You know, it just hit me. I was just talking yesterday with a brother. He's about, you know, as he gets older, sometimes you want to be free of having to, animals and things to provide for. And I get that because I do the same thing. Because you're responsible and you're tied down for it. Think about it. God never gets tired of us. Is it to always care for us and provide everything we need. He's not ever done with us, right? Praise God. He's so faithful to give us. That's why His mercies are new every morning. But man, we may not know His mercies are new every morning unless we're coming every day and asking Him to supply those needs and seeing them. And then it goes beyond that because we see not only does He provide, you know, all that we need and down to the smallest things and so faithfully every day, but He provides abundantly, doesn't He? Does He give us just barely what you need, like just enough few drops of water every day to survive? He gives so abundantly, right? And so more opportunities for thankful. And not only abundantly, but He gives the variety. I think of my food. You know, if God wanted to, just to give us what we needed, He could give me just a little big piece of bologna and a cracker every day, right? Enough to sustain me. And now, don't get me wrong. When you're hungry and you ain't have food, bologna and crackers are good, okay? So don't get me wrong. But if that's all you're getting every day, just that could get a little mundane, couldn't it? But he didn't do that. He gives us this variety to enjoy. So he's so good. Isn't it only right to thank him for how he provides all our needs in the way he does? I'll read to you a quote from Thomas Watson, the Puritan, as he speaks on this. And he goes a bit further than just failing to give him thanks. Like, you know, not only do not, sometimes we not give him thanks, but we don't even do what he says do. It says here, he says, if all be a gift, which is what we're talking about, right? It all comes from God, so it's all a gift to you. He said, see the odious ingratitude of men who sin against their giver. God feeds them, and they fight against him. He gives them bread, and they give him affronts. Thus ungratefully do sinners deal with God. They not only forget his mercies, but abuse them. If God gives all, let his giving excite us to thanksgiving. Do you hear that? Excited. It's something exciting to be able to give him thanks. And it's not just a duty. It's like, God, it's a worship. God, I give you. Let it excite us. He is the founder and donor of all our blessings and should have all our acknowledgments. All our gifts come from God. And to him must all our praises return. So if we just, bottom line, brothers and sisters, we ought to be creatures who are continually thankful all the time. And praying this way will teach us that. And it's only right. A third lesson that he gives us is a short one, but it goes with that. Thankfulness will produce that, and praying this way will produce that, and that's contentment. Right? What are we to pray for? What we need. And as we pray for what we need and we see God so faithful to provide it, right? And we're thankful for what he's provided, what hopefully will we not be doing? Looking and yearning for what he didn't give us, right? What do I don't have, right? That's contentment, is looking in that wanting and yearning for what we have not been given. But if we're seeing God faithfully give us what we need and we believe it, then if he didn't give it to me, guess what? I don't need it. I don't need it. And God knows better than I do what I need. And I've got to trust that. So if I'm walking and really asking God and seeking him for my needs and I see it and I'm thanking him rightly, then that contentment's going to come. And I'm going to be less and less restless looking for, oh, what satisfies? What satisfies knowing and trusting I have a Father who has given me every need, forgiveness of sins, and then everything from then on out. And he's going to give me exactly what I need. Why? To live for him. There's the, again, that's going to help us with the contentment. My purpose is to live for his glory and to seek my needs so that I can live for him and bring about his purposes, not me as the end consumer. When I'm the end consumer, nothing ever satisfies, and I'm always discontent. I have learned this by experience, and he has to continue to teach me. No, it's not you, it's him. Contentment. Last one, I'll have to set this one up. This is a lesson. It's kind of akin to something I spoke about earlier. Knowing our dependence on God. Well, this is even deeper. Because when we pray this way, this will help teach those of us who seem to already have quite a bit of our daily needs met ahead of time. I would say that includes everybody, most everybody in this country. We are, just greatly blessed with the material things of people, you know, clothing and food and shelter. The reality is most of us have more than a day's bread laid up. If it's not just the food, we have the money to buy, right? And so you think about that. If we've got a stockpile already, why in the world would we come every day and ask for what we've got? Why not pray for going to tomorrow? We'll start praying for however, you know, I've only got 10 years worth. I don't know, you know, whatever. And go on. No, we're still called to pray this way. Why? Well, because this will teach us that even though it seems like we have more than a day's bread laid up, we are still just as dependent on God to provide for us what we need for this day as if we didn't have anything. Why? Because only He can make what we seem to have effective to meet our needs. I want you to see how dependent we are on God. Right? You remember the Israelites? 40 years in the wilderness. How many change of clothes did He give them? Their clothes lasted for 40 years. And He said, I did that, right? Well, He could have just as easily caused them to rot and to be destroyed by moss or fire or whatever in the moment. Just give you a little hint when I'm talking. God has to cause what we think we have already to actually supply what we need. He's got to do it. He's got to will it so. Remember that heartbeat? Your heart will not beat unless God is going beat. And it's the same thing with whatever you think you have laid up. That will provide you nothing unless God wills it to be your provision for that day. And praying this way will teach us to remember that we are just as dependent on God as if we didn't have anything. We got full fridges. We got full pantries. We got full storage rooms. We got full closets. You better pray for God to meet your need for that day, because you're still just as dependent on Him to do it. I want to quote Calvin here. He's so much better than me, and I can't say it better than he does. This is the way he put it. He says, these words remind us that unless God feed us daily, the largest accumulations of the necessities of life will be of no avail. Though we may have abundance of corn and wine and everything else, unless they are watered by the secret blessing of God, they will suddenly vanish. Or we will be deprived of the use of them. Or they will lose their natural power to support us, so that we shall famish in the midst of plenty. Do you hear that? You remember, why do you need food? Well, our body needs it, right? To gain strength. And there's these laws of our bodies that God has set in order that food can be broken down and supply what we need. Well, guess what? Unless God wills that food to supply the strength you need for your body, that food will do you no good whatsoever. And you could stretch that out onto anything, right? Medicine, that ain't going to do you a hill of beans of good unless God says you bring healing. Penicillin will not heal your infections unless God wills it so. That's why I say your hope's not in that. Your hope's not in doctors. Your hope's not in food and stockpile. It's in God and God alone. You are totally dependent. And this teaches us that even when we think we've got so much, we don't have nothing apart from God. And praying daily, it'll teach us. God, I'm dependent on You. You are faithful to provide what I need. Praise God for Your faithfulness. Well, brothers and sisters, I hope you can see the benefit of just trusting Jesus and learn to pray like He teaches us to pray. And we've only covered one petition. There are two more, right? But that's next week. For now, let's go away just remembering. Let us ask each day for our daily bread. Let's pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, I want to praise You and thank You that You are such a faithful God. And all these creatures all over the world, not to mention the beasts of the field and birds of the sky and the fish of the sea. And just back us out a bit and see how You are just providing for all of us every moment of every day. You never grow weary. You are so good. Help us to see that You are the one we depend on for everything, every moment of every day. And then teach us to pray in light of that, Lord. And as we pray for that, we learn your goodness and we get more of you. Help us to receive the teaching. Help me keep humbling us to see that we actually need to learn. We've never graduated. We're always learning if we come and sit at your feet and listen. So open our hearts and minds to, we've been praying for years. Oh, maybe I change just how I pray here because you've taught us how. So, Lord, bring this good fruit to your people so that we're not the end here. You are. You get the glory. Pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, let's stand and sing to the Lord, who is worthy.